Luke chapter 15 begins with the word then, which means you really need to know what happened in chapter 14 because this is flowing out. But my, what a statement we have in chapter 15. The Bible says, then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, this man receiveth sinners and eateth with them. And he spake this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. And he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country. And there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. And he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And his son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. It's obvious from reading this portion of this chapter that this part of Jesus' ministry is all about lost things, being lost. And there's nothing that is more gripping to the heart than the tragedy of knowing that a child has become lost. Back when our kids were just little. We were in West Virginia, in Buchanan, West Virginia, and our daughter Connie was just about 6 years of old. A bunch of us were there as family, and cousins were out playing, and all of a sudden we realized that our daughter Connie and a couple of her cousins were gone. And fortunately, it was the winter time, and there was snow on the ground. We went outside and we began to ask around. We found out that they decided to go from grandma's house to grandma's house. We were at my mom's dad and mom's, and they decided to go to my dad's dad and mom's place, which was about a mile away. And they had just taken off to go see if they could find their other grandma's house. And so we were out frantically trying to follow footsteps in the snow, trying to figure out where these six-year-olds had gone off to. And fortunately, since she is married now and has given us five grandkids, you would know that she did get found as a result of that episode. But it was a harrowing experience for us at that moment for just a little while until we found our daughter. It's scary to be lost. And the chapter we read a moment ago is all about being lost. It's about the tragedy of lostness. The tragedy of being lost and the tragedy of someone that is precious to you being lost. How well do we understand the concept of being lost? As Christians, we use that word so glibly. I was lost, then I was found. How much do we understand about that word lost? And the consequences of being lost. Jesus Christ used that word over and over again here in this 15th chapter to describe people that were around him. It gives us such an amazing glimpse into what it means to be lost. How you get lost. The tragedy of being lost. All of the work and endeavor that is poured into the fact that somebody is lost. It's a chapter about lostness. But as I mentioned a moment ago, it begins with the word then, which connects it to a context. And you can never just jump into the Bible and hope to understand what you're reading if you don't understand the context which went before that led to that portion of Scripture. Let me just say that back in chapter 13, Jesus was asked the question, are there few that be saved? And Jesus Christ answered that question, are there few that be saved? He answered that question and ended that answer with a passionate cry. Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I gather you to myself and ye would not? From that, Jesus Christ went into the home of a Pharisee in chapter 14. And ate the Sabbath meal in that home. And spoke in that home of the three things that keep people out of heaven. He had just cried out in the context of evangelism and people getting saved. He had just cried out, oh Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often I have gathered thee and ye would not. And so he went into this home and sat down and told them three things that keep people from coming to Jesus Christ. Remember what they were? False religion. Human pride, and not answering the invitation to salvation. Jesus dealt with each of those three things that keep people from coming to Jesus Christ. Having given those three reasons of why people don't come to Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ went outside of the Pharisee's house to a crowd of people that were gathered there. And Jesus Christ said to them, if you come to me, it's going to change your life. And he talked to them about the cost of coming to Jesus Christ. It was a very hard message last Sunday morning. It was a very hard teaching from Jesus Christ. If you come to me, and he ended the chapter by saying, if you have ears to hear, listen to what I said to you. Then, if you have ears to hear, listen, then drew near unto him. I find that very interesting. He had just finished talking about coming to me. And the ones who will come to me. And the ones who won't come to me. Why people won't come to me? What's going to happen in your life if you come to me? And after just talking about what it means to come to him, he immediately, the Bible says, then the publicans and the sinners drew near to him. What a flow of context. we immediately have the people who are coming to Jesus. He had in the story at the, in the Pharisee's house, he said, "You guys won't come to me, you Pharisees, you self-righteous religious hypocrites. So I'm gonna invite the maimed and the lame and the blind and I'm gonna just say anybody, just go out and find anybody that's willing to come to me." And he said, "You Pharisees that I gave the first invitation to, you'll never eat at my table." He said that in the middle of chapter 14. It's the context of this 15th chapter. And having said that, "You Pharisees will never eat at my table in heaven." And then calling upon people to come to him. And if you have ears to hear, listen. The Bible immediately says, then it was the publicans and the sinners who drew near to him. And the Pharisees and the scribes in verse number 2 murmured. They sneered. They had just heard what he had said in the house. They had just heard all of his teaching in the house. Their feathers were ruffled. He had just talked about them outside the house. And their feathers are ruffled and they're a little put out with him. And he's invited the offscouring of the society to come to his house, to come to his table. And so the publicans and the sinners say, "We'll come. We'll come." And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. They grumbled. You could hear the grumbling. It was a low grumbling roar as it passed from person to person in the crowd. They grumbled. They murmured. And what did they say? They said, "This man receiveth sinners. He associates with sinners. He just said he would invite the maimed and the halt and the blind and anyone that'll come. And who comes? Sinners." And they murmured. They said, he receives sinners and he even eats with them. Jesus had just said, "You'll not be at my table. But I'm going to invite them to come." And so then the publicans and the sinners came. And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured. And they said, "He not only associates with these dirty people, he eats with them." They wouldn't do that. I want you to know the people God takes into heaven with him to eat at his banquet table, the Pharisees won't even eat lunch with. And so the context is set. We have this controversy between religious snobs and publicans and sinners. The phrases publicans and sinners were specific phrases that were used, descriptive phrases. These are people who had become traitors to the nation of Israel. They were tax collectors for the Roman government. They were fleecing their neighbors and their families in order to be able to get the money to send to Rome. And they're skimming off the top for their own paycheck. They were looked down upon. They were the lowest of the low in the eyes of the religious crowd of Israel. The publicans. They would spit when they said it. The publicans. And sinners. Jesus had said on another occasion to the same crowd of people, the Pharisees and the scribes, he said, "Harlots will be in heaven before you will." Sinners. Immoral people. The offcast of society. The nobodies. He receives people we wouldn't even be in the same room with. And he eats with them. You have a strong contrast between religious snobs and sinful people. And we have the religious snobs saying of Jesus Christ, "There's something wrong with him because he relates to these sinful people." And so with that strong contrast, Jesus Christ addresses the issue of the Pharisees' attitude towards sinful people. And Jesus does so by telling a parable that had three parts to it. And the parable lays out what it means to be lost and how a lost person is found and what happens when they're found. You see, you find these words over and over again. They're on your little worksheet there at the top of it. Trace the key words in verse 6, 9, 24, and 32. You'll find these words over and over again. Lost, found, joy. Lost, found, joy. Lost, found, and the third time through, it doesn't use the word joy. Use the word merry and glad. There's a flow here. People are lost. There is a great cost invested in trying to find them. And when a lost person is found, there is joy. Joy. Gladness and merrymaking when a lost person is found. Oh, we've been singing about that this morning. We've been hearing it sung. What a great God we have. So Jesus tells a parable, verse number 3, and he spake this parable unto them. Notice it's singular. It's not these parables. There's one parable, has three parts to it, all teaching the same thing, all illustrating the same principle. The principle that is contained in the words lost, found, joy. And so we're going to look at these for the next few weeks. This morning I want us to tackle the question, why does a person become lost? Next week, Lord willing, we'll look at the word found. What is invested to find one who's lost? And then the week after that, we'll see the word joy. As the brass band breaks out in great joy over one sinner saved by grace. And so we'll take a few weeks here to look at this chapter. I want you to think with me for just a few moments about this word lost. Jesus, by the way, introduces the parable in verse 4 by saying, what man of you? And then a little later on in verse number 8, he says, either what woman? Notice how he draws you in. He asks you to put yourself in the story. You see, he's wanting these Pharisees to see themselves in the story contrasted to God. We'll see that in the weeks to come. What man of you? Put yourself in the story. If this happened to you, how would you react? Because they were reacting very poorly to publicans and sinners coming to Jesus. They weren't at all impressed by publicans and sinners getting saved and coming to Jesus. And so Jesus says, what if you were in this situation? How would you react if this happened to you? So why are people lost and what is the impact of their being lost? Three simple thoughts. Number one, why are people lost? Verse number 4 speaks of a lost sheep. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? The first part of the parable is the story of shepherding, which was very common to those people. He hardly had to even do any more than mention it. In fact, he only mentions the lost sheep. He only mentions the lost coin without going into any descriptive depth, because everyone that he was speaking to was so attuned in their culture to a person shepherding sheep and a woman with a priceless dowry of 10 coins from her wedding. And so Jesus hardly had to but mention it, and everyone knew all the ins and outs about it. But the idea of the two sons was another story, and so he went into great detail on the third part of the parable. Think with me about why a person is lost. Could you put yourself in this? Why were you lost when you got saved? What contributed to your being lost? Jesus speaking to a crowd of religious people mixed in with publicans and sinners, and he says to them, a sheep is lost. Now he just mentions this the shepherd with 100 sheep, that would have been very uncommon for one shepherd to have 100 sheep. Typically, a family had between 10 and 15 sheep, and a family member would be out tending the sheep during the day, and at the end of the day, they'd bring them back to the village, and you'd have 100 sheep together when they came back together, and outside the village somewhere, they would have a place to keep those sheep for the night. And then the shepherds would go home, leave one shepherd there to tend the sheep during the night, and then the next morning they'd all come and get their sheep and go out into their various hillsides and so forth to manage their sheep. It might have been something similar to that would come to their mind when Jesus said this. When I was over in Israel just a few weeks ago, we went to Bethlehem, and there in Bethlehem we went to the shepherds' fields that lie out from Bethlehem, where the shepherds were tending the sheep. They had the sheep gathered together there during the night hours, and they just a few shepherds tending the sheep there as the other shepherds had gone home to Bethlehem for the night perhaps. And the angel came, and while we were there, we went in and we examined a cave that is there on the outskirts of Bethlehem, just out from the city of Bethlehem. That was the typical place where the shepherds would bring their sheep. They would put them all in this big cave, and then a shepherd would lie across the entrance to the cave so a beast of prey could not come in, or a robber could not come in without him knowing. And so the shepherds perhaps had put their sheep all together. There's 100 of them there, and all of a sudden a shepherd realized that one of his sheep is missing. There were some rules about shepherding. The most important cardinal rule about shepherding was, you don't lose sheep. They are valuable. We get our clothing from them. We get our food from them. They are a valuable commodity to the family. Family may only have a few sheep in that particular family. And so shepherds just don't lose sheep. If you lose a sheep, you go find the sheep. No matter what it costs you, no matter what you have to do, you go find that sheep. Don't come back unless you have that sheep lying around your neck, on your shoulders, or the carcass of the sheep that had been killed by a beast of prey lying around your shoulders, or a bone or piece of the sheep that you wrestled away from the prey that killed the sheep. You don't come back with either a living sheep, a dead sheep, or a piece of a sheep. Shepherds don't lose sheep. And so, when the shepherd comes back, Jesus says, what man of you? What would you do in this situation if you came back and realized one of the sheep were gone? Well, every Pharisee there would have said, well, I'd go out and look for the sheep. That's the ethical thing to do. That's the right thing to do. That's what shepherds do. They go out and they find the sheep that was lost. Let me ask you a question, though. Why was the sheep lost? A sheep becoming lost is a perfect picture of why a lot of people become lost. You see, a sheep doesn't become lost on purpose. A sheep becomes lost by wandering away. That's the first contribution to being lost. A person wanders away. You see, sheep are really dumb, and they don't have very good eyesight. They can't see very far away from them. They have no defense mechanism. They are totally dependent on somebody to keep them safe. I've read that a sheep has a very weak constitution. They can even be frightened to death. If a sheep is frightened, it can actually have a heart attack and die just from fear. It's been said that if a sheep gets over on its side, it can't get up. A shepherd has to come and get it back up on its feet, because it can't get back up off its side. I don't know if all those things are true. Those are things I've read about sheep. Sheep that are dumb, that are weak, that just can't see very far ahead of themselves. Are you listening spiritually? He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Are you listening spiritually? You know why people become lost? Because they're weak in spiritual things. They can't see down the road very far to see the ramifications of the things that they do. They don't have any mechanism to defend themselves against Satan. They're hopeless and helpless. And what a sheep would often do is it would be, its head's down, it's eating a clump of grass, and it sees a clump of grass 12 inches away. So it eats that clump of grass. Then it notices a clump of grass over here and eats, and it eats, and it eats, and it eats. It's before long, he's wandered far away from dad and mom. You know, that's how people become lost. They just gradually wander away from the things of God. And when the night comes and the sun begins to set in the sky, the sheep looks up and it's scared. The wind begins to howl. Maybe a hyena howls at a distance or a coyote. And the sheep is lost. You know what the result of being lost is? If you're a sheep, the result of being lost is you are in great danger. You are in great danger. Because you can't defend yourself against Satan. It's the same with human beings. Some human beings are lost because they just wandered away. They were curious, and they were ignorant. They couldn't see very far down the road to know where this path is going to lead. They're ignorant of what lies around the next bend. They don't understand the dangers in the valleys. That sheep doesn't understand the danger of being out there in the Judean wilderness, away from the shepherd, with the valleys and the beasts of prey and the dangers. It doesn't understand what it's getting into. It's ignorant and it's curious. That next clump, the next clump, the next clump. And it wanders away. You know, it's sad when people wander away from the things of God. Their curiosity takes them away. There's no one there to give them guidance. Before they know it, they're in over their head. And they're in grave danger. They're a sheep that wandered and is lost. Jesus told a second part of the parable. He said it's kind of like this woman. What would a woman do in this situation? What woman who has these coins and she loses one of them? 10 pieces of silver, verse 8 says, if she lose one piece, notice she lost the piece. Notice the end of verse number 9, for I have found the piece which I had lost. She took personal responsibility. Why does a person become lost? Sometimes a person becomes lost like a coin becomes lost. You see, this coin perhaps was a part of a dowry that had been given. 10 coins and a necklace. And perhaps one of the coins had become loose and she didn't recognize it. Have you ever had a piece of precious jewelry and one of the gems in the jewelry became loose and you didn't know it was loose and all of a sudden you lost it? And then after that, when you got it replaced, you became very careful about whether the stones are loose. You kind of check the prongs, make sure that there's no... We don't know the details. We don't know what all would come to their minds. But we know this. This woman had something precious to her and she lost it. It didn't lose itself. It didn't jump off the table and roll behind the bureau. And if you were to visit that the culture of Israel at the time of Christ, the floors were very rough, maybe stones with crevices. There have been lots of places to lose something that was precious to you on the floor. And this coin didn't lose itself. The woman said, I lost it. I lost the coin. You know why some people become lost? Because someone was careless with them. Someone was careless. Someone didn't take note of what was happening in their life. Maybe it's a parent that just didn't focus on the fact that their child was growing up. One of these days I'll talk to them about salvation. One of these days I'll talk to them about the Lord. Someone was careless. Someone lost the coin. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. The story is told of Dwight Moody back in the 1800s, 1850s, on his 17th birthday. He went to Boston and he worked at a shoe cobbler's place, his uncle's store, Holton's Shoe Store. His uncle made a requirement. If you're going to work for me in my shoe store, you got to go to church. He was 17 years old. And so in order to have the job at his uncle's shoe store, he went to church, Mount Vernon Congregational Church, pastored by Edward Kirk. He went to Sunday school as well as the church service. His Sunday school teacher was a man by the name of Kimball. And Dwight Kimball cared about his Sunday school kids. He worked with teenagers. Edward Kimball, I believe his name was. Dwight Moody was a teenager, 17 years of age. His Sunday school teacher, who worked with teens, went to this place of employment where he was wrapping shoes. And he went to Dwight Moody. And he said, "Dwight Moody, I'm here today because I want to tell you how much Jesus Christ loves you." They sat down. And the Sunday school teacher led Dwight L. Moody to the Lord. Think of all the people who heard the gospel and got saved under the preaching of Dwight L. Moody. A Sunday school teacher working with teenagers that went to the place of employment and led his Sunday school student to the Lord. You know why some people are lost? They're lost because somebody's careless. Somebody doesn't reach their kids. Somebody doesn't reach the people under their charge in ministry. Some people have people who look up to them in ministry, in Sunday school classes or whatever, but they fail to reach that person with the gospel of Jesus Christ. They just figure someone else will do it. And they're careless. And the coin, all of a sudden, the woman said, "I lost the coin." Some are lost because of carelessness on the part of people that have the gospel that don't give the gospel to people that are important to them. And you know what's the end result of lostness caused by carelessness? That coin was useless to the owner. Uselessness is the result of lostness as illustrated by a lost coin. See, what do you mean by that, preacher? God created every person for a purpose. The Bible says He knows His plans for us. And when someone is careless and doesn't reach that person with the gospel, and that person doesn't get saved, they are of no value to God whatsoever. They are useless. And they can never fulfill the purpose of their existence. They're useless to their Creator because someone was careless. By the way, if you have kids growing up in your homes, let me recommend a little booklet. I meant to grab one off the shelf before I came out here. It's a little green booklet. It's called Your Child's Profession of Faith, a booklet I've recommended for years to parents, to children's workers. Your Child's Profession of Faith. It's all about the work of a parent preparing the heart of a child to hear the voice of God when God begins to deal with them about salvation. It's not so much about how to coerce a child into saying a prayer and then convincing ourselves that the person is now saved, but as a parent, how do I approach this work of preparing the heart of my child so when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to their hearts about salvation, that they will hear the voice of the Holy Spirit? Just a little booklet, highly recommend it, $7 in the bookstore. That's what we paid for them. We're not making any money on them. Your Child's Profession of Faith, written by a Baptist preacher that was burdened for the salvation of the children in the church that he pastors. So, there it is. Okay, last one. Why am I lost? Some people are lost because they just wandered away. They were just curious. They were ignorant of what they were doing. They weren't thinking. No one was directing them. They just wandered. All of a sudden, they're 22 years of age. They're far from God. They have no interest in God. They just wandered away. And they're lost. And as such, they're in grave danger. They may not realize it yet, but they're in grave danger. Like every sheep is in danger from being lost. Maybe you didn't wander away. Maybe it's that somebody who had the gospel was just careless and never got it to you. And now you're useless to God. You're lost. But then there's a third one. A man had two sons. You know this story. We'll be exploring this story in the weeks ahead more and more. A dad had two sons. The eldest son, he did everything he was told to do. He did everything he was responsible to do. And everything was fine. But the younger son, was tired of home. The younger son was tired of the rules. He was tired of the standards of dad and mom, particularly dad. He looked out beyond the horizons of the property upon which he lived, and he looked at a big wide open world out there, and he thought, my, I'd love to go out to a far country. I'd like to go see the sights, live the life, do the things everybody else does. And I'm stuck here at home, and I'm tired of home, tired of dad. I want to be free. This continued to grip his heart and his desires to the point that he actually got to thinking, if my dad would just die, I'd get the inheritance. I'd have money. I'd have means. I could live my dream. I could go anywhere I want to go, do anything I want to go do. I could just go live it up if I just had the inheritance. If dad would just die. Got to the point where he went to his dad and he says, Dad, I'm tired of waiting for you to die. I want my inheritance. You'll notice when you read the story carefully that the dad divided his living. This wasn't this boy's living. This wasn't the product of this boy's labor. This wasn't money that this boy made and saved in a savings account. This was the money that dad earned. This was the dad's life. This was what the dad would pass down to his children one day when he died. And the son said, Dad, I want it now. I want my part. And the dad gave it to him. The dad gave him his inheritance early. The boy took his money. Maybe it was possessions, whatever it was. He liquefied it. He did whatever he did. He gathered it together, the Bible says. He got it to where he could take it with him. And he said, I'm out of here. I'm out of here. I'm going to a far country. The Bible says he went and he wasted all of his dad's life. He wasted his dad's sweat and blood. He wasted his dad's living on harlots and dances and wine and drugs. See, I'm going to go do what I want to do for a change. And he wasted all of his dad's living. Riotous living. When the money was all gone, all of a sudden his friends weren't there. As long as he was paying the tabs and the drinks were on me, he had lots of friends to hang around with. As soon as his money was gone, he was alone. All the ones that hung around him, because he was buying the drugs, he was buying the booze, he was paying for the girls. As long as he was paying the tab on everything, everyone was there, big party, lots of fun. When the money ran out, got to the point, famine, God sent a famine. Unemployment, money was tight, food was tight. The only job he could find for a Jewish boy, a Jewish man, the only job he could find was slopping hogs. There's a lot behind that. The Greeks used to sacrifice hogs. It was their most holy animal. When the Greeks tried to force Greek culture on Israel before Jesus was born, in what we call the 400 silent years, the Greeks took a hog and they slaughtered it as a sacrifice in the temple in Jerusalem. It was their most holy animal. To the Jew, there was nothing more disgusting, vile, or unclean as a pig. And all this guy could do was find a job slopping hogs. He said, I would fain have filled my belly with the husks. The word fain means desire. I was so hungry. I just wanted to eat the husks that the pigs eat. But no man would give to me. Got to the point where he couldn't even get the hog slop. He was lost. He was lost. You know why he was lost? He wasn't lost the way the sheep got lost. The sheep was just a little kid growing up that just wandered away. All of a sudden, they're 13, 14, 16, 20. They've just kind of gotten far away from God. They're not antagonistic against God. They're not antagonistic against their home, their dad, their mom, their church. They just wandered away and they don't realize the danger they're in. They're not like a coin. It wasn't that someone just mishandled the situation and lost him. He's lost because he raised his fist against his dad and said, I'm out of here. He rebelled. He was lost because he rebelled. Some people are lost because they rebel against God. They said, God, I'm done with your morals. I'm done with your holiness. I'm done with who you are. I want what's mine. I'm going to go do what I want for a change. They're lost because they rebel. And the sad thing is, when people are lost because they rebel, they end up with the result of misery in their lives. Misery. Misery. He's miserable. The Bible says when he came to himself, when he finally got thinking straight, he was so miserable. He was hungry. He was tired. He didn't have any friends. He was lonely. He was miserable because he was lost. Some people are lost because they just wander away and they're in danger that they don't even know. Some people are lost because somebody mishandled them, left them without the gospel, and they're useless to God. But some people are lost because they actively rebel against God. They want to do their own thing and live their own life and go their own places. And they rebel against God. And as a result, they find themselves sooner or later in the misery of slopping hogs, alone, hungry, destitute. You know, it's a bad thing to be lost. I'm glad Jesus didn't end the parable with the word lost. He ended the parable with the word found. It's terrible being lost, but it's great being found. It's great when that sheep came back found. It's great when that coin came back found. It's great when that son came back found. It's great to be found. We'll see that next week, Lord willing. Father, thank you for this amazing parable. Lord, I pray that you'll help each of us to see where we are in this thing of lostness. Lord, I know I was lost. I just wandered away. I didn't actively rebel. I didn't raise my fist. I didn't quit church. I just wandered away. My mom and dad didn't mishandle me. They gave me the gospel. They kept me in a gospel preaching church. They did everything they could do. They prayed for my salvation. God, no one was careless with me. I didn't rebel. I just wandered away from you. And you found me. Lord, there's others in this room who are lost because no one got the gospel to them. Some are lost because they rebelled. God, would you help us to see ourselves and know what the situation is as to why we're lost?